Hey, what's up? It's Lex and Stacy. Time for another Yet Threesome podcast, which we've been digging. We've had a great time. Stacy and I, of course, were workmates a long time ago on the Lex and Terry show and decided we wanted to work together again. So we are to bring you the Threesome podcast every single week. And this is a new one. In today's show, we will be talking about a little bit of ISIS, iPhone 6, guy who comes 100 times a day.
Yay.
Yeah. It's crazy. But it's very funny. As a matter of fact, I hope I can find the audio. Because it is some funny shit.
Is he coming while they're interviewing him?
He's coming all the time.
Well, I knew that. I read this. I had seen the story.
Yeah.
And you know how it's basically ruined his life. I do feel bad for him.
Oh, come now. See, now I can't find it. I had it earlier this morning. Guy that can't stop coming. Maybe it'll come up.
He apparently had some sort of back injury. And it's like nerve damage. And for whatever reason, this particular nerve damage has caused the man to orgasm upwards of like 100 times a day. He actually has said that because he comes so much, it's actually not, I guess, coming, because he really has nothing left to produce because he's producing all the time. So it's more just an orgasm. But you have to imagine he probably leaks a lot. He's probably chafed and chapped and raw and sore.
Yeah, I'm looking for it here. Hold on a sec. It's almost like it got pulled down. Let me check Gawker. Maybe that's where it was.
I know, like, sometimes the women who will orgasm, like, when they're doing sit-ups and stuff, the crunches.
Yeah.
That is possibly, like, maybe that same nerve or something. I don't know. I don't think that they are, per se, rubbing or stimulating themselves in the groin area. I think it's, but I could be wrong. I've never done it, unfortunately. I think it's, like, a nerve thing, too. Which would make sense if you're doing a crunch or a sit-up. You know, you'd be probably rubbing parts of your spine. Wherever that erogenous nerve ending is.
Yeah. Where is this? God damn it. This pisses me off.
If I recall from the news story, he was saying how awful it was, and to say,
"Oh, I know, but I want the audio, because the first 30 seconds of the audio is so fucking funny." It just is.
I was happy to see that he is. He tries to avoid being around children, not that he's going to touch them or do anything, but he feels incredibly awful orgasming in front of children, which is a good thing.
Yeah,
but
you got to hear the part about his dad's funeral. Oh my God! Oh, please be it! Please be it! Please. Yeah, I think this is it. Yeah, this is it. Yeah. Okay, here we go.
All right.
Oh, God.
Okay, he's dropping to his knees right now. He's having another.
Father of two, Dale Decker, suffers from a rare and seemingly incurable condition that leads to him suffering up to 100 unwanted orgasms a day.
There's nothing pleasurable about it, because even though it might physically feel good, the whole time inside your mind, you're completely disgusted by what's going on. And depending on where you're at, if you're in public, if you're in front of kids, I mean, it can make a person break real fast.
The 37-year-old is the first man to ever speak publicly about the condition known as persistent sexual arousal syndrome, or PSAS. And he says it's ruining his life.
Ruining your life.
He's at your father's funeral, at his casket, and you're saying goodbye to him. And then you have 9 orgasms right there while your whole family is standing behind you. Just makes you never have another orgasm as long as you live. But you know what?
I'm so sorry, Dad.
Just keep on coming.
Dale, from Wisconsin in America, was enjoying his
Thank
suburban
you.
Life in 2012.
We didn't know Wisconsin was in America, you fucking British
chair,
bitch.
Triggering the condition for unknown reasons.
They put me in the back of the ambulance to take me to the hospital. And on the way there, I had my first 5 orgasms, and they've never stopped.
And they had raincoats on.
Dale has been unable to work since the accident and is mostly housebound through fear of experiencing an episode in public.
But all the ladies in the neighborhood watch after him.
Friends.
He just did an angry frisbee throw that went so far.
Oh, God. They happen at all times in any situation. They happen when I'm awake. They happen when I'm asleep. They happen in the shower.
Good for you.
I just had 9 rather powerful orgasmic sensations flow through my entire body. And now it feels like every muscle from here to about here is doing this.
Man, your core strengthening must be amazing.
While the condition is so rare, most doctors can't even diagnose it, it is widely acknowledged by specialists in the field.
PSAS is a condition of unrelenting genital arousal and spasms, which
And that's why
is not
I need to see him 4 times a day.
Sexual. And they have no idea when this is going to happen or how often, and can lead to intense suffering.
And this suffering is felt in Dale's home life, where wife April struggles to cope with the situation.
Yeah, I have more orgasms than you, bitch.
Stop that, really.
You can't run your woman shit on me. I'd blow you out, your ass away.
We already struggle right now.
Oh, look, he had a white tuxedo on at the wedding. That was smart.
Stressed from that.
And PSAS is even affecting Dale's relationship with his children, Christian and Tatum.
Yeah, it's bad to come all over your children.
Relationship. Yes. He doesn't go to, like, practices because he feels embarrassed.
Practice? He's perfect.
He don't know about his condition. So the kids don't quite understand why Dale won't be there.
They will when they're teenagers.
Spontaneous orgasm isn't the only thing that leaves Dale afraid to leave home.
Sometimes I have an erection for 3-4 hours at a time.
Oh, you should call your doctor.
Come and go like 30, 40
That's what the TV man
it's
said.
It's really hard to deal with. It's possible to have sex with my wife. We don't very
I would
often
think.
Because it becomes frustrating. Because for me, there's no end.
Desperate for help, Dale has turned to therapist Diane London to see if she can shed light on the condition.
It's destroying every part of everything in my life.
When it comes to sexual issues, people get very...
Oh.
Go ahead.
Damn, that's fucked up. I've
never seen anything like that before. There are no words. It's hard to know if it's real. This makes me want to find him some relief. Otherwise, this
is all he has is relief.
But even in the face of such desperate odds, there is hope for Dale's future.
Yeah, cut
his
dick off.
It's very brave of Dale to come out and publicly talk about it.
He's suffering, but there is help for him. There are doctors that can help
yeah,
him.
Yeah, a nymphomaniac.
So I hope that he's getting some help. I think the main problem is that probably nobody believes that it's a medical condition. I think it's in his head, and it's not. He's got a real medical problem.
I don't
know. I just
know.
Try to take one day at a time. Hopefully someday.
Wow. Would you get sick of that?
Yeah. Absolutely.
All the sitcoms and movies you hear women talk about, they'd love to have that. Now you have them. How do you like it? You fucking bitches. Shit, I was putting out once or twice a day, and I was getting laughed at for it.
Why?
I don't know. It's like...
Well, I guess my question, and I don't know if it was addressed in the interview, bit with, because it's a nerve thing, is each and every one super, super powerful? Because, like, if you were having orgasms either from, like, a marathon masturbation session or sex session, the sensitivity would start to wear down and they wouldn't be, you know, that big. So is each one still like a Star-Spangled Banner, you know, orgasm? The knee-dropping kind?
It sure looked like it on this. Looks pretty intense. So, who knows?
Because if they were just little ones, you can kind of fake your way through it, you know? Just kind of like... give me a minute. Okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
Thanks. You know, but if each one is, you know, again, huge, earth-shattering, mind-blowing,
yeah,
that would probably drive you a little insane.
What do you think as a woman, if you were with somebody like that?
It would annoy me. I mean, if it's really ruined his life like that, you know, you now are with someone who is pretty much useless.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway.
It's like, really? You're going to use that as an excuse to not take the garbage out? Really? Really?
Yeah, I am. So I'm going to have 10 orgasms. You take the fucking trash out. And do some more laundry. I'll make.
I know. That's the other thing. Again, with the leaking, he has to be...
secreting trapped. Something.
Yes. He has to drink a lot of water.
So, I, like 10 million other people, put in for my new iPhone. I decided I was going to try this plus size one, the 5.5-inch screen.
My mom, too.
So I'm waiting 2 or 3 extra weeks for it, but I guess some people have gotten the large one already. And there's this thing going on where it's bending in people's pockets.
I know. They finally officially made it so skinny that
Yeah. So I'm a little worried about that because I keep my phone in my pocket a lot.
Do you put your phone in the case?
Yeah.
I mean, have they said if this is still happening to phones in a case? Because I don't have an iPhone. I have a Samsung. But the case that my phone is in was hard. You know, it's not a bendy... silicone ones.
And I'll have, you know, Rockform, the company we do business with, will have a case for it for me. So I'll probably be okay, but it's probably going to be pretty bulky in my pocket as large as it is.
Well, is that a bad thing?
Yeah, we'll see. You know, I've been jealous of D for a long time because he has the Samsung Note, which is a pretty large phone, but God, it's so fucking cool how big the screen is, and he does everything on it. He really almost has no need for a laptop,
right?
You know, and it's just pretty fucking cool. But pretty,
isn't it funny? I mean, think back, you know, 10 years ago when we were all striving to get our phones to be as small as possible.
Yeah.
After having those big, huge, giant, you know, do you remember the original, like the car phones that came in the bag and everything, and how huge and giant they were?
I remember Singular Wireless giving Terry and I the new Motorolas, and these things were like literally 2 inches long. and the thing to speak into was like 5 inches behind your mouth, but for some reason people could hear you.
Right.
But it was ridiculous. And then Saturday Night Live had the thing with Will Ferrell on it, and he's like talking on this phone as like an executive, and the phone's like the size of his forefinger and thumb. And
now we like our phones big again.
And now we want not the brick size phones, but we want big screens. Big, lively, bright, you know, vivacious.
HD
screens.
I do love watching old movies, old being like the 90s, God. But when they have to pull their antenna out and then they push their antenna back in before they put their phone away.
I know.
It's like, wow.
It's like, you poor bastards.
We are so old.
Oh, hell, I had one of those ones that carried around in the case.
Yeah. I know, like the bag phone, the one you slung over your shoulder.
Yeah, and I also...
It's like, look at me, I'm mobile.
And also, when I lived in L.A., I had the brick one. And I bet I looked like the most just... What's the word?
Well, back then, you looked cool. Now you would look like a douche.
Yeah.
I think douche was the word you were looking for.
No.
Or possibly douchebag.
No, it was. I was thinking pretentious, but it's a different word.
Well, I think they're kind of interchangeable.
Is it ostentatious? Is that the word?
Yes.
Yeah. I always, even back then, felt bad being on that phone, like at a table at a restaurant or whatever.
It's kind of like the people now with the little Bluetooth thingies.
Yeah.
Who are walking around and you think possibly they're talking to you, and then you realize that they don't even know you exist, but right. You've just answered them, and wow, do you have to talk so loud in the produce section? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's pretty fucked up. But anyway, I thought that was pretty funny because people have been waiting for these two phones, and the fact that it's bending in people's pockets is kind of hilarious on one end and kind of sad on another, since that's the phone I'm getting. So,
I think you'll be good with the case, and this news story I read on it was very helpful and said, just don't wear your pants tight.
Yeah.
You know, don't have tight pockets. If you have big, loose, baggy ones, you should be okay.
And that's mostly what I have, you know, as far as cargo shorts and stuff like that.
Yes, put it in your leg pocket, not your front pocket. Yeah. Or the dreaded back pocket.
And we'll see what happens.
Well, I wish you luck.
Thanks.
I hope you enjoyed the big screen.
So are you a baseball fan?
I guess, sort of. I mean, I've listened to the Tigers all season.
What's your deal with Derek Jeter?
I have no opinion.
Because Keith Olbermann went off on him about how they're making way too big a deal of him leaving, and there were much bigger Yankees and much more producing ones and stuff like that. But
I saw that.
Yeah. And the only reason that, you know, he's getting the attention he is because the Yankees aren't in playoff contention and they have to do something to sell tickets and all that stuff. And
that would make sense.
And I find it very disrespectful.
From Keith Olbermann or from the Yankees?
From Keith Olbermann. Who I like.
I do too.
I liked him better in his MSNBC days. He sounds kind of contrived on ESPN, like somebody's editing him or looking.
I was surprised that he was back. I thought he had like been banned from the network and had burned every bridge and even some footpaths and everything, and there was no way.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I really don't. But he is famous for not getting along with the higher-ups.
Yes.
And that pretty much left everything open to interpretation, that's why he ended up back at ESPN, because they were the only ones that ever knew how to handle him. He's supposed to be a fucking nightmare to work with.
I was going to say, I think when you hire Keith Olbermann, you know that the time is very limited that he's going to be there with you. Because what was that channel that he went to after MSNBC, and he was literally on for like two shows?
Current.
Current.
Yeah.
And then realized, I don't know.
Well, I mean, he went on the air and talked about what an amateurish operation it is, you know, because you know, they were just getting started, you know. I mean, it was an upstart network. You know, he didn't cut them any slack whatsoever.
Right.
And you know, he goes on his own show and talks about it, and they were smart enough to go, there's a moral turpitude in your contract. Goodbye.
And I was surprised. I think that things even, excuse me, have been icy with him and Rachel Maddow. And she doesn't strike me. I could be wrong. I don't know the woman. But she doesn't strike me as someone that would be difficult to get along with, or that she holds a grudge.
Oh, they are icy? I didn't realize that.
I think he thought that she should have stuck up for him more when he got fired.
I don't think so. I think she just pretty much kept to herself.
Well, I think he took that as not her sticking up for him. It seems like she had said probably within the last year that they have not really spoken since he left MSNBC.
Yeah, I mean, when you hear her speak of it, she said she felt pretty exposed and pretty dependent on to deliver, and with such a short broadcasting career up until that point, was pretty intimidated. She really hasn't said anything about that from what I can see.
I like Rachel Maddow. And, you know, it really, not so much the political part. The thing that really, really sealed it for me with her was when the tsunami hit Japan, and then the whole nuclear thing, Fukushima, I think was where it was happening. And she, I was watching her show one of those nights, and she sat there and described what a nuclear reactor does and how it works and how it, all of this. And you know what? That was something I did not know. And she described it in such a way that she dumbed it down so that you could understand it, but she didn't dumb it down to the point where she was being patronizing.
Yeah.
Like, you're an idiot, so I'm going to go slow.
Yeah.
And after she was done, I actually literally turned, I think I called my mom and said, you know what? She just explained that perfectly. I get it now. I've never known how nuclear crap works, you know?
She is.
And that kind of sealed it.
She is a bucket of brains. I mean, this is not an idiot chick. She is highly educated.
She's a Rhodes Scholar, I believe.
Yeah, I believe so. So, and she definitely had Olbermann's respect. I know that much. I don't know. I do know there was a time where Olbermann got an interview with Senator Obama at the time, which was a pretty big deal. It was a big exclusive on MSNBC, and that was around Rachel Maddow's first night. So she actually had Olbermann on to talk to him about the interview, and he was kind of, dismissive of her and kind of took the show over.
Oh.
And that was pretty much it. When you look at the transcript of it, she's hardly in it.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. But she has made a nice name for herself. I think she's just a very smart chick, and she gets her facts straight. And you know, MSNBC pretty much spends most of its time debunking Fox's stuff.
Yes.
For the most part, that's pretty much what the shows are. As Fox said this, and this is really what's happening.
I will even go so far to say that if I were a lesbian, I would be all over Rachel Maddow.
Oh, yeah.
Her personality, she kind of makes me laugh at times, you know. I mean, she's cute, she's quirky, she's got the little sense of humor while still delivering, you know, news, but without being the Daily Show.
For one thing, I'm so fucking turned on by smart chicks. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about brainiac chicks that make me want to just fuck their brains out. Like, you know, it's like, let the stupid guy get a piece of you. Not that I'm stupid.
And I also love when the camera backs away and you can see that she's wearing jeans and like Converse underneath.
And flats.
The table.
Yeah, or flats. Yeah, no doubt. She definitely lesbos out.
Yes.
But that's okay. Everybody knows. It's not a big secret. First time I saw her, I went total.
You need to look at high school pictures of her, though. She was blonde, long hair. She was like homecoming queen.
Yeah, she's pretty.
She was really, yeah, very, very pretty.
Yeah.
Not that she's not now, but she was definitely like what you would picture a homecoming queen to be.
But
in the 80s.
If you have an open mind, she's the daughter you want to have.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. You know, I wouldn't mind if Samantha was a lesbian. I really wouldn't.
Well, good.
You know, I wouldn't have any douchebag dudes over at the house. Anything like that, like I do now. Her current boyfriend, I really like this kid, but God, he's a mess. I just want to hug him and at the same time beat the shit out of him.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, he's gotten caught like 3 times, you know, doing bad things. And it's the same. And it's the same thing.
Oh.
And it's always the circumstances are dumb. You know, it's like, can you do anything more to get caught than what you're doing? You can't smoke a cigarette in an open school parking lot. You will be found out.
Yes.
Especially a state-of-the-art school that's got 200 cameras surrounding the perimeter. With recording devices and all the bells and whistles, you're pretty much going to be found out.
Right.
Somebody goes back and looks at that stuff and goes, who's this? Zeroes in, IDs them, calls them into the office, in trouble. And it's happened 3 times. So he and my daughter signed up for this run, you know, where these zombies chase them and stuff.
Oh,
and
cool.
And I said, can you even run? I mean, all you do is smoke. Can you make it 5 miles without the zombies killing you? Are you going to leave my daughter alone to be eaten by zombies? Because that's not cool. You're supposed to like protect her.
We did not use our girlfriend as bait.
Yeah, she should not be. She should not be like making you move faster. So he's a really nice kid, you know. But it's like, God damn. And you know, he's handsome as all get out. So she's all gaga over him.
Well, good.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wish I didn't have to deal with that.
See, I've learned my lesson. We're talking about teenagers, so I'm just going to go, yay, good, that's great. Oh, no.
Oh, look, I don't care. I know they're doing it.
I didn't say that. For the record, I did not say that.
You basically said, I'm going to sit here because they're teenagers and not talk about them doing it, so I was just making it easy for you.
I just meant I wasn't going to insult them in any way. Because what was it? Like that one time I didn't realize he was in high school. I thought he was older.
No, it's okay.
It was a terrible, terrible episode.
He's kind of a dumbass, you know, when it comes to getting caught. You know, and it's like you want your daughter to be with somebody smart. And, you know, she's constantly, like, telling him. It's like, no, do not go there. You've already been caught there twice. And, you know.
Put a shock collar on him.
Yeah, and then, they're in a broadcast class together, and I guess he's all over her in there. And she didn't get bumped up to the advanced class. And he did. Because the teacher is kind of likes boys. So, he made him the anchor of the school news thing.
Oh.
Yeah. And of course, he's all over Samantha after school. You know, he's all handsy with her and everything. So I had to go in and say, sir, I have to take it kind of personal that as a 33-year broadcaster, and somebody that's taught my daughter about B-rolls, video, editing, she did Final Cut when she was 11 years old, she can dice and slice any piece of video or audio you have in her sleep, and you won't put her in advanced broadcasting, I have to ask why. And he goes, it's the relationship. And I went, so he's all handsy on her and she gets held back when she's better at this than any student you have? I said, you know I'm going to go talk to the principal about this. And I can pretty much make you look like shit. I have video of her doing Final Cut when she was 10 years old.
Which she edited.
You know, I mean, it's like she knows how to do all this stuff. I said, dude, she's made movies. She's made fucking horse movies with fucking scripts and people in it and all that stuff. Storylines of it. Her and her girlfriends made them for 2 years. Full-length movies that are really fucking good. You're not going to move her up into advanced, you know, broadcasting? That makes me look like shit.
I would just like to say that I think it's fantastic that they have a broadcasting class in high school.
Yeah. And he says, well, you're kind of making this about you. And I said, oh, no, no, no. And I said, you're making this about you. I said, and I think we both know what I'm talking about. I'm not stupid. I also know that she could go on and run circles around her own boyfriend in her sleep on the anchor board. She knows how to be on the fucking air. She's been on it with me many times. She's not afraid of it. It's no big deal. I know she's your best anchor person, and so do you, because you use her all the time. So...
Well, maybe he feels that it's too easy for her and he's, you know, trying to help other kids get up to the level that she's at with experience.
If she was not in that class, they'd get nothing done. That's how far ahead of everybody else she is. Everybody brings their B-roll packages and all that stuff for their news program to her so it can get done on time. She can do like 6 of them in an hour. Where the rest of them do one a week. That's the difference we're talking about here. And she doesn't get credit for being in, you know, advanced broadcasting. That's bullshit. Just because she's in a relationship with somebody. And he goes, I guess I could put her up in there and, you know, keep an eye on that relationship. And I went, yeah, why don't you do that? I said, and why don't you have a little talk with him, as I will, about keeping his fucking hands off of her.
I know, I guess that's like the bigger issue. Yeah. I don't know, maybe not.
I'm like, you're a teacher. Can you go to one of your students and say, no PDA in my class? Buster?
Little Mr. Man over there with the hands, Mr. Hansy.
He goes, I wasn't ready for a confrontational parental meeting today. And I'm like, hey, sorry. I said, it's really not confrontational. I'm just kind of laying things out to you that
this is just me.
That it's not fair for her.
This is how I deal with people.
And
you should see me when I'm angry and you should have seen, being a dick.
And you should have seen Samantha. She's sitting there nodding her head at him like, yes, yes, yes. Everything daddy's saying is right, isn't it? Yeah. She was awesome. And he looks at her and he goes, what do you think about all this, Samantha? She goes, I've told you what I think. That's why he's here. Because I told you what I think and you didn't care. So I've brought in the heavy artillery. I love her. She reminds me of somebody.
Oh, who?
My mom.
Aw.
She really does. She's so...
Let's hope and not in every way.
She's so fucking filterless. I mean, it's so bad. It's so bad. I mean, I know she's told this guy, like, the truth, the bloody honest truth about why she's not up there. And he pretty much penalizes her for it, but it's true.
You know, as a child of two school teachers, let's just look at it from another angle for just a moment, just being devil's advocate. How would you enjoy someone telling you how to do your job?
I'm not telling.
And then compound that by 30 times how many classes you have per day, times two parents in some, you know, hopefully a lot of situations. Let's think about that.
This class takes place at the end of the day, and it's the only class he deals with.
He teaches one class.
It's 2 hours long, and there's stuff after school, so he works after school, and he has to be there early in the morning to oversee the school's newscast when it takes place before school starts. So that's his day. So everybody that's in that class is who he deals with. There's an advanced and there's a regular. And it works in unison with each other. And he oversees the website and the production of the video.
Gotcha.
And that's what sucks is he depends on her because he gets behind. And she's the go-to because he knows she can fly through it. So to put her in...
Well, how about...
I mean, he tells me to my face that she is the quickest, the fastest, and the best he has. And in the same breath, tells me he's holding her back. So how do you think that makes me or Samantha feel? Because if that issue
is because of the relationship, and if she cares enough, then she tells Mr. Handyman to go sit on the other side of the room and to keep his hands off her.
She does.
By God, this is affecting her schoolwork.
She does, and he sees her do it, and he, because of how he is, doesn't hold the boy responsible.
But if she's telling him to stop and the boy continues doing it, then that is also an issue too.
Yeah, which I brought
up. She should only have to tell him once to not do that.
She's like, get away from me. You're going to get us in trouble. But, you know, she wants to go to college one day. She wants to be in this profession. You know, she's...
Right.
You know, I mean, her dad's in this. You know, I taught her this stuff when she was an infant. All this stuff. You know, I mean, she's just, in this instance, And
in this instance, maybe he expects more from her, you know, because of how talented she is and doesn't feel that she is fully utilizing her talents and all of that.
She's doing everything that's asked of her. I asked him to his face, is there a criticism of Samantha that you have that we can address here as to why she's in the lower class? And he said, the only reason she's in the lower class is I'm keeping them separated. And I said,
if that is the only reason, then.
And I said, is he better than her at all this? And he goes, well, he's the anchor. And I'm like, that's fine. I said, can he be the anchor and have the lower class on his resume? Because if you're depending on her to put the whole product together and get it done on time, and he's basically your anchor who basically is getting in the way of her work, she doesn't deserve to be held back. I said, three times. So tell me, what is it that she can't do as to why she's in the beginning class? And he goes, it's not about that.
Obviously. And so, again, this is where you sit both of them down and you look at him, Mr. Young Man, and say, you'd fucking touch my daughter again during school, during class.
I did.
I will break your fingers off.
I did.
You're holding her back. Your actions are holding my daughter back and her future. Do you understand that I will kill you if you don't stop touching her in school?
Yeah, I had that talk.
Did it work?
So far. It's 3 weeks old.
Yes, that would irritate me. You know, it's if that's the sole reason, you know, Samantha should be pissed. She should be pissed at him.
That's
you know,
what I told her. That's what I told her. I said, you know, you seem like you haven't fought for yourself on this. You know, I told her I was pissed about that.
You know, guess what, girls? And you know, and that's a thing, you know, with the teens today. You know, kids, girls don't realize, you know, that having that boyfriend is not everything.
Yeah.
Live your life. Give yourself some stuff. Learn some stuff before you make that decision about a boy.
I just told her, I said, Sam, I'm not that great of a father. You know, I love you. I do the best I can for you. But the one thing I did when you told me that you wanted to be in some kind of film or movie making or whatever the case was I taught you everything I knew about Final Cut, about iPhoto, iMovie, you know, Vegas, and every type of editing software there was. And, you know, told her, watched news with her and told her what B-rolls were and all that stuff. I mean, she went in there basically the first teacher she had the first year, the first day said, I'm just going to give you an A and you're going to help me teach all these other kids. That's what happened.
Right.
Because the first,
then,
the
yeah,
first,
she should be pissed that. You know, it sounds to me this is all the boy's fault,
the teacher she's had all along, you know, is told this guy what an injustice it is to have her in a beginning class. You know, she's outraged by it. But he runs the department.
Obviously, the relationship bothers him. Obviously, you know, he feels that... You know,
it doesn't bother him because of his sexual orientation. It bothers him because it takes the young man's eye off the ball and what he's trying to accomplish.
Exactly.
You know,
he sees her as the distraction.
Yeah, he's not a creepy guy like that. I mean, it's not about, oh no, I want the boy in there. You know, it's not like that. He's making a choice that he's decided that's the anchor man, so he's going to be in the advanced class, and I keep her in another part, you know, and keep them apart from each other.
Right.
And I was outraged by it.
I understand, but again, I think the first level of anger should be directed at the children.
Well, it was.
Okay. You know.
But in the end, you know, she has the cred, you know.
She does, but if they are being too big of a distraction, again, I'm looking at it from a school teacher's standpoint. I know that, but she is, I guess, because she is keeping horny teen boys' attention where it's not supposed to be.
Yeah, and she,
you know, I'm sorry that she's, you know, a beautiful young girl, but this is the issue.
Yeah, but the fact is, that's not her fault.
It's not.
You know, so that's what I was telling him. You get him in order. I'll do my best to get him in order. But under no circumstances do you demote my daughter because you can't get a hold of this. Because, you know, you don't want to deal with it. You know, I'm sorry. It's unacceptable. She knows 10 times more than anybody else in this class.
It would be very easy if she got pissed enough and said to young man, you know what, you have just fucked me. Not really, but, you know, you are screwing me out of something.
Well, no, what she did do, and I was pissed off at her about this, was all these people were bringing their stories and their B-rolls to her to edit and get ready for it, and she just went, no, I'm in the beginning class. I don't know how to do that anymore. You'll have to do it yourself. I'm just doing the one he's asked me to do. And she does it.
And that's how
that whole conversation happened, you know, because, you know, I got a call that she was acting out. And I told him, I said, you know, you have everybody, including you, depending on her. And, you know, you put her in a lower class. I would have done the same thing. I would have been like, fuck you. You do your... You made your bed, you sleep in it. I'll do my beginning class one role here, and like you expect everybody else to do, and, you know, I'll be the beginning broadcaster that you say I am.
And that is within her bounds.
I personally told her I would have done the same thing.
I would too. Look, I'm not in any way, when you said it's not her fault, I am not victim blaming here, not at all. It's just if she is, you know, as smart and savvy and sassy as what you say, because, you know, last time I saw her, she was like 5, then she should be the one in control to say to him, look at what you have done to me. So, you know what? You're not touching the goods anymore until, you know, this has worked itself out.
I have to be politically correct here, but she's not getting the nod on things because of her sexual orientation.
I don't understand, I guess, what you mean.
She has done her best to sequester herself from him and to get her to leave him alone, and has even, you know, conveyed that to her teacher, yet he put her in beginning broadcasting just to make sure he never had to deal with it. And told me that to my face.
Right. Well, then you have every right. You know, if this is truly, if she has, you know, completely made sure that she is not getting touched during school or after school or in any way where this teacher sees them together or speaking or acknowledging each other, and she is still being penalized for it, then I believe you have every right to go to the principal and say, what the fuck? But, you know.
Hey, so far so good.
I wish her the best of luck.
She's in advanced, so is he, and it seems to be working out. But
good.
You know, it was just BS.
No, I agree. I can say, because, you know, I know teachers get a bad rap, and I know, just like with everything, like with police and everything, there's always bad apples. Yes, I know this. But honestly, in the grand scheme of the world and education in general, teachers are not out to screw your children. And I mean that figuratively, not sexually.
Yeah.
If a teacher has made a decision about something like this or whatever, then what the parent doesn't realize is that it was a big enough issue for this decision to be made.
Yeah, fuck it. I'm over it.
Okay, good.
I'm
happy.
I thought it was bullshit.
I'm glad that you're over it.
Hey, man, it was a slap in my face. It's the one fucking thing I did to prepare her for the career she probably wants to have. And, right. And she, you know, I mean, if you saw the difference in skill level, you would have been crazed.
I understand.
I mean, you see,
I do.
You see girls in there typing with one finger, you know, and you know, moving the mouse real slow and everything, you know, and then you look over and you're seeing Samantha working and everything's just going at, you know, fucking warp speed, you know, and getting cut down and processed and rendered and sent on its way, you know, and it's. Ugh.
Then it had to have been a big enough issue for the teacher to make that decision. But it sounds like you, as the parent, have handled it. And she's in that class now. So, you know, and her together can make sure that she's not getting molested during school or after school or wherever this person can see her. And if she is dedicated enough to the cause and to this class and her education, she can handle it for a school year. It's not that long.
Yeah. And the fact that I told him that I would love to talk about this on my radio show, because that's the shit we talk about, probably didn't help either.
So suck it.
Yeah.
Mr. Broadcast Man.
Well, I told him, I said, you know, I said, a little bit of my reputation's on the line here. You know, I said, I just got divorced. You know, it's like my ex-wife's going to ask why my kid's in primary broadcasting when she knows what she can do, too. Right. After all, she has a broadcasting background as well. You know, I mean, that kid's completely schooled on the broadcasting, programming, and sales side of everything. She's been pretty much set up to go into this business and kick ass now. Today. Today she could go to work at some Clear Channel station and kick ass.
iHeartMedia.
iHeartMedia. And they could put her in any department, and she promotions, sales, programming, on air, any of it, and she would know what to do and what to expect and what that department does and what it's there for. And she completely understands the relationship between revenue and programming and why it needs to exist and why it needs to be good and everything else. I mean, she completely gets it. Grab me another 10th grader that has any fucking understanding of that, and I'll bet you $1 million you can't.
Right.
Unless you have another kid of somebody who does what I do. So, yeah, excuse me for being a little upset.
I understand.
Fucking dumbass. It's like, I practically told him, hey, if you want to stay late every day and get there earlier in the morning for your principals, go ahead. Personally, I'd be letting this little bitch do all my fucking B-rolls and all my, you know, news pieces and let her editing those so we could all go home at 5 o'clock instead of 6:30.
Is this public school or are you paying for it?
It's public. And if you know anything about the taxes of where she goes to school, we're paying for it.
Right.
So, anyway, that's my fun altercation with school. Otherwise, it's been pretty smooth sailing.
Oh, perfect timing. Look at you.
And I'm sorry a lot of this threesome podcast was about that. I didn't mean for it to be. No, but you did get to hear about a guy that comes 100 times a day, and that's cool.
I did, and my day is better for it.
Yeah. And for those of you that don't know, there's a secret episode that at some point will be very, very revealing and will bare my soul about what's going on in my life. And we did it while the iron was hot, so to speak.
Yes.
While the emotions were running high and the wrong decisions were being made instead of the prudent ones and everything else. So you will get to hear that at some point. I will have the nuts to play it for you. And it is 1 hour of the best fucking radio you've ever heard.
Lex bears his soul. It is a mythical podcast, Stacey, that will be sometime in the future.
Stacy expertly interviewed me during this. I mean, Leslie Stahl-esque. I mean, 60 minutes questions, the right questions, the right approach to the interview, the whole deal. And I have never been more impressed with her. She asked some very harsh, very tough questions and brought some things to reality that I'm just going to say we should win some sort of Marconi or something for this.
Yes.
Because it is fucking epic. I feel like I just set myself free.
And I am happy about that.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. There was actually at one point that I actually said to Lex, I'm going to say something right now. You know, I'm kind of asking your permission. Can I go there? You know, and you said, sure, go for it. So I did. You know, it's not like a mean thing, but for those of you who listen to Lex and Terry and have been, you know, listening to the podcast, which thank you, by the way, you probably will find both amusing, probably a little painful, you know, but I guarantee you're not going to be able to shut the podcast off when you're listening to it.
No. No. This is an hour of raw, real life about my divorce, my next relationship, where my life's going, the whole fucking deal, all wrapped up in 55 minutes. And it is going to be badass when it gets played, but too soon right now.
Yeah, that will be a couple months from now. Yeah. Sorry about that, folks. Yeah. But, you know, just be aware it is looming on the horizon.
Yeah, it is. So there you go. That's what's up with the Threesome Podcast. Once again, want to thank all my showmates on LT2, the James Gang, Terry James Alive, Gunner and Chow with Catching a Buzz, Ian Gleason, Sarah B, D Under the Shade Tree, and, of course, the James Gang. All that comes to you on the LT2 channel. Have yourselves a great day. Oh, and now let's not forget Drew Hillis at DBC Connections. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Lex and Stacy's threesome. Lex and Stacy's threesome.